hard to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go hard and just dig deep inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive, just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle Hunter. I'd like to welcome you back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast. And this is high-level conversation where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and just being successful in regards to anything that you're doing in life. And I just want to start by saying thank you to everybody for listening to the podcast. The feedback has been amazing, and it's just a really dope, dope experience to see it just changing so many people's lives. So if you benefit from the podcast, if you love the podcast in any way, definitely spread the word, tell a friend to tell a friend, because that's the goal. We just want to pay it forward and just give inspiring stories for motivational and successful people in regards to their respective fields. And today, I actually have a very, very talented guest who is actually one of my dear friends, and he's just super dope. Just to give a little background on him, he is averaging 2.3 million streams on Spotify, monthly listeners. He's out here. He's got over 10 million on Apple plays. He's got over 10 million on YouTube. His streams and his numbers are crazy. Like, he is just that dude. And I'm not just saying that because it's one of my friends, but he's really, really accomplished. And the person I'm talking about is no other than Flocalist, the one, the only. What's up, brother?
Hey, Kyle. Happy to be here.
Yes, yes, man. We happy to have you. And
thanks for the crazy invitation and for the crazy start of this podcast, actually.
Of course, man. Like, you're so talented, and I just feel like, you know, you're just really one of the leaders of that genre, in my personal opinion. Like, I feel like what you do is so dynamic. And it's really dope for us to do this interview, because I know there's a lot of producers out here who they aspire to really be, you know, on your level, or just try to get in some way, shape, or form to be able to do what you do. So I think this episode will be really informative for those producers and just musicians in general. So once again, thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Definitely, bro. So, you know, what I feel is important a lot of times, like, people, they highlight the successes, but I think it's important to really start at the beginning. So I think for the listeners, it'd be really great if they can just get some insight in regards to how you got started in music. Like, I mean, we all know that you're super talented as far as, like, with playing trumpet and things like that, but what was your start like? Like, how did you get started?
Yeah, so actually I'm having a very classical background. I'm like this trumpet guy that comes out of a classical music family. Like, I'm actually the third generation right now. My grandfather was a trombone player. All of his kids had to play an instrument to fit in his band. And so my father was originally a trumpet player and decided then later on that the trombone was more his instrument. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he got me started at 5, I think. And I chose a trumpet. I wanted to do something like my father, but not exactly the same. And yeah, so the trumpet came out. Yeah, that's how eventually I got started with playing the trumpet. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, what's the specific genre that you do? Like, what's that genre called?
Yeah, so producing wise, I would say that the genre is called lo-fi / jazz hop, because there are a lot of jazz influences, but also lo-fi defines this nostalgic feeling you get over the beats in the genre you are hearing. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So at what point would you say, like, how did you come to the point of doing the fusion between the two? Because we know that you got started playing the trumpet and things like that. So at what point did you realize, like, wow, I want to make a fusion between the trumpet and this lo-fi jazz type.
Yeah. So I studied the trumpet at a music conservatory at first in Belgium, and then I went to Germany, to Leipzig, and there I got to know a guy that lived, that was actually my neighbor, and I always heard like these beats bouncing out of his room, and I was practicing the trumpet downstairs, and I just, one day I knocked at his door and I just asked him what he was doing, because back at the time, even if I was studying classical music, I was also really into hip-hop. Like, the first record that really inspired me was the Pete Rock and I&I album.
Classic.
Yeah, definitely classic. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I was actually experimenting already a bit on the iPad with a Fruity Loops version that my brother gave me back at the time. And yeah, so I heard these beats out of his room. I knocked at his door and I said like, hey, what are you doing? And I saw him sitting there behind his PC. Back at the time, he was using Cubase, I think. And I just saw immediately that that this was the thing that had been missing for me, like connecting the Pete Rock inspiration back at the time with the skill to actually make beats like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's and so cool. So that's where it all started. During the classical studies, I got to meet Lesky, is his name. And he taught me basically everything, how to put my thoughts into music on the PC. Yeah.
That's dope. That's super dope. So what was the very first track? If you could remember, what was the very first track that you made? And did you put it out or no? Like right away, like you didn't immediately start releasing stuff. You just kind of honed your craft. Like what did
no,
that look
no,
like?
Like the very first thing I produced was actually just on the iPad with the Fruity Loops version. And it was actually a copy of Think Twice, like the Pete Rock beat again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, after I was trying to get that same vibe, and then I produced an album called Serendipity with Lesky, which was sample based. And yeah, we tried to release it somewhere and that worked out. And then a couple of years later, we got our first playlist placement on Spotify. And that's where the streaming game started to be clear and important, I would say.
That's dope. That's dope. So did you, now we talk about like the streaming, the placement, like on the playlist and things like that, because I know like playlists are a big thing, like in terms of musicians, like they, everybody wants to get their music on the playlist, because obviously if you get on a playlist, then you're getting more exposure, and the more exposure, your plays will increase. So would you say there's like a real rhyme or reason behind that? Or I know there's a lot of artists, for lack of better words, they'll freestyle. So they'll upload their music and distribute it, and then they'll go through Spotify, let's say, and they'll submit it for consideration. Is that really effective, in all honesty? Like, is that the best way to try to get something playlisted?
I would say, first of all, times have changed. These days, everyone can just upload their music online and try to get into playlists, or try to just spread the music in any possible way. And so yeah, as an independent artist that has no record deal, or yeah, exactly, record deal, that's actually what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way to get started. Once you get into playlists, you will get streams. After, you will generate followers, and then everything starts rolling.
Got you. Yeah, so I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it boils down to you. Everyone has to start somewhere. So yeah, I know Spotify does have that ability for artists to submit for consideration. And if any artist is listening to this and you're not familiar with that process, simply what that means is if you have an upcoming song coming out, or you have an album that's about to come out, as long as you give it enough lead time, Spotify will give you the ability to actually basically submit for playlist consideration. So you select the genre, the mood, you type up what that song is about, and then you'll give it some lead time, whether it's 4 weeks or whatever, in advance to the release. And if they like it, it'll land on some pretty legitimate playlists, which can increase visibility for you. So it's definitely a great look, like Flocalist has said. You know what? There's another question I have for you, man. So, because, I mean, you've got so much knowledge and so much experience within your space. So I just want to keep the ball rolling here. But I wanted to circle back to your recording process. What is that process like for you? Because since you produce, but you also play the trumpet, what comes first for you? Do you produce the beat first and then you lay trumpet over that? Or sometimes is it done in reverse where you might have a melody for some horns that you want to play and then you'll lay the beat over it? Like, what's your process like?
The process has actually changed over the years, but right now I'm starting with drums. I always like to have this kind of rhythmical vibe and then laying some chords over it, playing in a bass line, of course playing in a trumpet melody, because that's like kind of my signature sound. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I just fill it up with details, like everything possible, some small drum licks or some effect sounds, or just filling up the space. I would say that's the power is in the detail in the end.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's pretty dope. So another question that I had for you, you got a lot of music, like. If anyone listening is not familiar with Flocalist, if you go to Spotify and you see the music, it's like amazing. It's like, you know, like Tupac output.
Yeah, I wanna jump in right away, because I think also, as I said before, the music industry changes really fast. Mm-hmm. And thing is, these days with this submitting system, I think it's good to release a lot. I think it's a good strategy, because there is a bigger chance of getting picked somehow. Yeah. So first of all, of course, you need to make the right sound, or you need to make the music you love. Second of all, you need to have a good strategy to get the music to where you want it to be, so people can actually listen to it.
You're right. You know, and I think too, like, given that we're in an age, in a space and place where things move so fast, like music comes out so fast, like, you're absolutely right. Like, I remember I did a weekly series years ago. This was like maybe like in 2000, from 2008 to 2009, I did a weekly series called Manic Mondays. And every week I put out a new song with original production. And in addition to that, I was putting out albums too. And that's really the time that my buzz went to the next level. That's when I got like a lot of notoriety from record labels, got a lot of record deals. And that's when my buzz grew, because I was willing to put in the work to actually get the music out there. And that's, I say that to say, that's what you remind me of. Like, you put out a lot of music, but you remind me of myself, because it's always high quality. It's not like you're just throwing out music for the sake of throwing out music.
I mean,
it's always great, you know?
I mean, especially as an independent artist, you need to create the buzz somehow. It's not like you have a record coming out and a big label behind it who's promoting it for months in a row. No. It is like you put out the record and you need to see that it works somehow. Right. And that's why I think the chances are higher when you have a good output.
Absolutely. Like, I always say, like, quality with quantity will win every time. The old adage used to be like, well, you know, you need quality over quantity. But that was based upon the false presumption that they can't coexist. So meaning that, you understand? Like, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, I also want to say that there are different kind of strategies. There are artists that are perfectly working fine with putting out one album every year. It's just not the strategy I chose for. And things work out for me the way they do. So this is what I keep doing right now.
Definitely. That, well, it's clearly working. I mean, the fact you're in the millions, you're doing all right. You're doing very well. You're doing very well. So, yeah, it's definitely a great.
Yeah, story. I mean, with this, I also want to say that the streaming numbers are represented by playlisting success, and this is thanks to this huge lo-fi community. There is a difference between followers and streams, I would say. And this streaming business in lo-fi is just, yeah, has just exploded over the years. And it was really funny to be a part of it. Let's say it like this. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely is great. And just lo-fi in general, like, I can be honest, I think that it's a really great genre. Speaking personally, my daughter loves lo-fi. Like, she will play that, and she's only 8 years old, but she likes it because it's chill, it's mellow, she can just vibe out to it, she could do her homework to it, you know?
The way I see it, or what a lot of people have told me, is that this music is accessible in a lot of different situations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the funny thing about it. Yeah.
Listen, if you want to chill, like me personally, because I make so much music, sometimes you just want to zone out. So if I just want to chill, I will put on some Flocalist. I'll put on some Mr. Kaifer. I'll put on just some
I also put on some Mr. Kaifer. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. If anybody listening doesn't know
really.
If anybody listening doesn't know who Mr. Kaifer is, he's another one of our friends who's a very talented musician as well, and I'm going to bring him on at some point as well. But yeah, yeah. It's just a really, really dope genre of music, and I like it for my daughter personally too, because obviously it's no profanity in this stuff, so it's like she can just play these beats, these playlists, and I don't have to worry about, all right, do I have to put on like the clean version of it, but it's instrumental, you understand? So it's pretty good. It's a pretty,
yeah, as I said the genre works over playlists, and the playlists are designed in a way, or the genre is designed in a way that you can just listen to it a couple of hours in a row. That's how it works. The beats are also always pretty short, so there is enough difference, and yeah,
definitely.
The sounds are following up pretty well.
Definitely, definitely. So another question I have for you, because you put out so much music, what would you say, and this is a two-part question. The first part is, what would you say is your favorite album out of all the albums that you put out? And the second part to the question is, what would you say would be your favorite single if you had to choose?
Okay, so my favorite album is still about to come out. But yeah, you asked me to choose one that I released already, so I would say that has to be Entity. And of the singles that I released, well, I would really have to think, because there are a lot. Mm-hmm. I always prefer the music that I made most recently.
Of course, of course. Yeah.
Because you're always getting better, you're always learning new stuff, and then you're enjoying the new sound also.
Of course. You know, I tell people it's like clothes, you know. I like the clothes I have now better than the corduroys I had when I was a young boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Also the funny thing is, like, the beats are dope, or are like, for me, they are listenable until they are released. Because during the production process, you're hearing the loop like 100, maybe 1,000 times, maybe more. Mm-hmm. And then when the beat gets released, you're happy that the music is out there. You listen to it a couple more times and you start the next project.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that's the mentality of a creator, right? Because we're creators. So it's the same thing. It's like, I'll put out so much music. Like, I think I put out like over 1,000 songs, but it's always a creative space. It's like, once you create it, all right, you're on to the next. And
yeah, always looking for the next thing. That's,
yeah.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, it's
we
like,
don't want to, we don't want to stand still.
Right. Like, it has to be a constant state of growth and evolving. Like, it just can't be stagnant. So 110%, I feel that 110%. Another question that I have for you is, what would you say, because, and this is a great question I like to ask our guests, because a lot of times people always highlight the great stuff, but they don't ever talk about the challenges. And I think challenges are important because it humanizes us. And to people that either look up to us or want to know more about us, it makes us more relatable because it lets them know that they're not alone. So there's a lot of musicians out there that are experiencing obstacles. Can you talk about one obstacle that you faced in the music industry that you were able to overcome?
So for me, the biggest obstacle in my life actually was my big dream was always to become an orchestral classical trumpet player. And this is something I worked for years in a row. I was, like I said before, I was studying classical music in Belgium, in Leipzig and in Munich, and doing auditions for orchestra. And so until I finally reached that life goal, there were a few years passed, let's say it like that. And now where I finally have a job as an orchestral trumpet player, I feel very, very relieved. And the thing with making beats is that this was always some kind of a relief for me. Like, the beats are chill, and so they always relax my mood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it took me some years to get a fixed place in an orchestra. And now I'm finally there, and that was a huge obstacle for me. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know, that's great to hear about how you're able to overcome certain things, because that's really dynamic.
Yeah, it's just a different world, classical music and producing. Mm-hmm. For the classical music, it's like practice every day, practice hours in a row. And with mm-hmm. producing, it's letting your creative mind flow as much as possible. Both are not easy, but I have always preferred the creative process over the practicing process, let's say it like that.
I got you. Now, a thing that maybe some people don't know about you is that you actually have a label as well. So can you talk about that label a bit and how that came to be?
Yeah, sure. My very first album I've released on Six Music. And over the years, I have developed a very good connection with the guys that are running the label. And I actually became kind of a part of it. And so after the lo-fi madness going on over the years, actually, we decided to create a sub-label called On Canvas. And that's basically my label focusing on lo-fi, jazz, hop, instrumental hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And recently, also vocal music.
Gotcha. So can you talk about, I guess, some of the musicians that you have on that roster or what you guys are working on at the moment as well?
For the moment, I'm trying to include a lot of good friends of mine that are mm-hmm. actually producers. For example, Satya, Myriad, Rudy Raw. Yeah, and Meadow. Yeah, I can sum up a couple of names. Yeah, but basically the idea is to include a lot of friends into the label and trying to push them as much as possible.
Most definitely. And we also even have have some content coming out on there as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal project. Shout out to Silk Beats, Gabe, Sam and Kurt, all those guys. Yeah, it's going to be really phenomenal. Something else that I want to highlight, because I mean, you have a lot of great highlights. You also put out something in collaboration with Blue Note Records. If anybody's not familiar with Blue Note, it's an American jazz record label owned by Universal Music Group. But I mean, timeless musicians have put out music on Blue Note. Like, I mean, it's just phenomenal, whether it be, you know, Coltrane, whoever. Can you talk about that music a little bit to give people some insight?
Blue Note actually, or the Blue Note Records release was a collaboration between Blue Note Records and Astral Works mm-hmm. Records. So they made a Blue Works compilation where they basically selected some of the lo-fi artists they liked. And I think this was, for them, a first tryout to see what's going on in the lo-fi business, how they can take their place in it, and how they can start a first project with it. And I'm sure there are a few more projects to come. So yeah, I think they have some surprises for us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really dope. It's really dope. And you're in some good company, because historically they've worked with a lot of talented jazz musicians. So that's great. Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, definitely. I was also really hyped about that release. And I think it was also a great compilation. Also, the other artists on there really made some beautiful tracks, and the project turned out great.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. So yes, I mean, so we're starting to narrow in on the final two questions I have for you. But this question in particular is a great one. And I want to know, like, because you're so successful within your space, what do you say if someone wanted to ask you for advice? Let's say that an upcoming producer wanted to ask you and say, hey, Flocalist, you know, what's some life advice that you can give me as a music producer that's trying to be successful? What advice would you tell them?
I would say them immediately to listen to a lot of music. The reason I can produce beats every day is because I love the genre. And I think if you want to overcome an obstacle, or yeah, an obstacle is actually the right word, you need to just really love it in order to find the energy. Yeah, that's the main advice I would give.
Awesome. That's really awesome. So basically the last thing I have for you, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the Diagnosis Success podcast.
And yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Really. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in closing, like, tell the people about what projects you have upcoming. I know you probably got like 100. So tell them about
I know you do.
See? Yeah. So tell them a bit about that. What's on the horizon for Flocalist?
The one project that I'm really looking forward to is an album on Melting Pot Music with Mr. Käfer, the guy we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this one is really for me the best thing we have made until now.
Awesome.
And for the rest, a lot of surprises, I would say. Hopefully a project with you in the future. That's something I'm looking forward to too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. For people listening that don't know this, me and Flocalist, we make music at like it's like an insane rate. Like, he'll send me a beat.
Yeah.
And I'll have the song done the same day. And then, like, we'll have the whole project done, like, within a week. So it's like we work
very...
It's
going fast.
Yeah, really fast. We work very efficiently, but it's always great music. So
we were just vibing.
That's it. We've been vibing for a long time, and it's a great, great friendship. So just wanted to thank you again for joining us on the Diagnosis Success podcast. And we truly appreciate all the gems that you've provided to the listeners. And hopefully it's a positive takeaway for a lot of the musicians that are listening, you know?
Yeah, hope so too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So once again, this is Kyle Hunter. You have listened to the Diagnosis Success podcast for the high level conversation where we embrace the symptoms of success. And ultimately, we just want to motivate, inspire, so you can take it higher. Have a great week.
Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, not giving up, that's how I give it up. That's how I give it up.